Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa.
How you doing, baby girl?
Oh, you know, another day in paradise, a.k.a. a fucking shit show of a hellhole, because it's been doomy and gloomy here for what, like the past 8 million days?
Where's the sun? No, today was like really hard. My commute was terrible. So it was a lot for anybody listening. I work like 40-ish minutes north of where I live. It was a lot worse near Morristown. So like the first half, it was just like, and you know, it's not even like raining, it's just misty, but like nobody can drive if there's like one drop of water on the road. So it was, you know, it was fine. I'm here. I'm home. I made it.
Barely. Made it physically, mentally.
Mentally a little rough. I am listening to an audiobook right now. I think it was like an Oprah pick.
Oh.
Hello, Beautiful by, wait, hold on. I do have Goodreads open. Anne Napolitano.
Okay.
And so it like takes place as of now. It takes place in like the 70s and 80s. And it follows, there's four sisters and then one, and then there's a guy, William. So it's like William and then these four sisters. And he is like a neglected child and he meets Julia, who is the oldest sister, they meet in college. And again, this is like the 70s and 80s. So they get married like while they're like still in college, basically like right after they graduate. But he has like this like terrible childhood and he's basically just been like fighting depression his entire life. And Julia is like a fixer and he's like drawn to her because she's just somebody who's going to like tell him what to do with his life. And but basically like things fall apart. I'm not done yet. I have like 3.5 hours left, so I'm like a little bit more than halfway through, but basically like his life just starts like crumbling because like he like can't fake it anymore. And trigger warning, he tries to kill himself. He like, it takes place in Chicago and he like walks into Lake Michigan and like essentially bless you,
thanks. What a terrible way to try to.
Yeah, and he's rescued, and then he's, like, basically put in, I don't even want to call it, like, he's in, like a mental health facility for a few months, but essentially where I'm at now is that, so he's divorced, they get divorced, like, he's, like, 23, so this is, like, all, they're all still really young, and the, okay, so even before this, I guess these are spoilers, so spoiler alert if you guys were going to read Hello Beautiful, but...
midway through the description, by the way.
So like a year prior to his like episode, their dad dies. So the young one, like the youngest sister gets pregnant. The mom like disowns her because they're like a Catholic family, like an Italian Catholic family in like the 70s, like late 70s, early 80s. And the dad is kind of like the glue. Like, I can't explain it, but basically, so then when the dad dies, they kind of all start crumbling. The mom then moves to Florida. Like, things, like, start happening. And Will has always just been, like, he's, like, his, like, his, he was born, when he was born, his sister died, like, 3 days after he was born of, like, pneumonia. So his parents just, like, neglected him. And, like, he's kind of, like, taken in by this family. So, anyway, after his, like, episode and he gets divorced or whatever, him and Julie's, the second oldest sister, Sylvie, they fall in love. And
hold on.
Yeah.
Him and his sister fall in love?
Him and his sister-in-law.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the fuck are you reading, Teresa?
His ex-wife, yeah, his ex-wife's sister fall in love.
Okay.
There's four sisters. So it's Julie, Sylvie, and then there's the twins, Emmeline and Cecilia. He falls in love with Sylvie.
Okay.
And it's just like, I guess it's just, like, a story about, like, family and, like, these, like, dynamics and, like, I don't know, whatever. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think if I was reading it, I'd get bored, but I like the audio. And it's a good, like, it's like, I mean, it's not a fun story at all, but there's something like relaxing about listening to this narrator.
Okay.
Anyway, so that was my commute home. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying. Sometimes I feel like a narrator really does bring a bit more life into a story than just you reading the book I get what you're saying. It might be a bit more boring, kind of just following along a life versus this narrator kind of bringing it to life. I get that.
So I'm enjoying it. We'll see. I'll touch base next time when I finish and see like what my rating's going to be.
I actually feel like I've been, due to my mileage increasing, my listening is increasing. And I feel like for my job, end of year is very busy for providers and a clearinghouse, but I feel like a lot of it isn't really like my responsibility. I'm the middleman. I'm just your account manager. So I feel like I'm not busy in the sense where I need to be solely paying attention to what I'm doing. So I've been able to listen a bit more. So like I'm on a run listening, then I'm coming back home and listening.
Yeah.
I started P.S. I Hate You by Lauren Connolly on audio this morning. I have a little under 4 hours left. It is so good. I'm obsessed. I will be buying the physical copy for my bookshelf that I have absolutely no room on. So I will have to figure something out.
Wait till after Christmas, maybe.
Maybe. Okay, fine. What's nice is I did get a gift card for officiating my brother-in-law's wedding.
No, I mean, like, wait till after Christmas because I may have given that as a suggestion for somebody to buy you right after Secret Santa. Okay. So I don't know if they're getting that free. I gave them a bunch of books.
I'll wait.
So just wait. Just wait.
Yes, ma'am.
Katie does this every year around Christmas and her birthday. She starts like buying herself things. And I'm like, can you just relax for a minute?
I literally, mind you, Tom did the same. Because again, I'm no longer pregnant finally for the first time in 8 million years. So Tom was like, I know you want clothes. I told everyone that's asked, like, get her gift cards to the running store or this or just whatever. And yet he looked at me the other day and he's like, a package has come here every day from a running store. I was like, I need more.
You're like, well,
I'm testing different. I feel like I like resurfaced back into the running escapade and these Gen Zers took over there also. And they have really great fashion senses for instead of just my all black normal wardrobe for running. So I'm like, well, let me just spice some things up. So I'm trying different brands with their shorts, but I'm trying not to buy too many whatever. So I'm just, anywho, moral of the story, I'm listening to a book and it's really good. So P.S. I Hate You, Lauren Connolly. So you follow the sister and the brother's best friend. And it's a second chance romance. I guess you can call it second chance. They had one steamy-ish kind of a night. And now they're on this journey together. So the sister, and if you want to laugh, I cannot think of her name at this moment. Just took my headphone out. Hold on. I need to look this up so I can talk about this. Please hold. Okay.
I'm trying to think
Maddie
of something.
Maddie Sanderson and Dominic Perry. So, okay, these are our main characters. So Maddie's brother, who was just shy of 30, passed away from cancer. She, unfortunately, has a mother and a grandmother. The grandmother kind of raised them, but they're just pieces of poop, to just sum it up in a nutshell. Okay. So Dominic's family, she is very close with, and basically kind of like it takes them as like, this is the family I'd always want for myself. Thank goodness the parents are extremely accepting of her, kind of take her and her brother in also. Mm-hmm. Dominic is obviously her best friend's, her brother's best friend. And one summer she kind of like takes, you know, Dominic's younger brothers under her wing. She helps cart them back and forth to camp because the mom got into a car accident, whatever. So she's like in her glory, loving life. You kind of get a little bit of a flashback too, which is nice because, you know, something went down between Dominic and Maddie. And then you learn that all of a sudden, like the next day, he's proposing almost to this girl that they're essentially high school sweethearts. So she's like, what the fuck did I do wrong that like within 24 hours, you just up and left me and here we are. So after the brother passes away, he obviously has an executor of his will. And for Maddie and Dom, he wants them to go travel to the States because he's a photographer, takes wonderful pictures, made a good living off of that, and visit the places that he didn't get to visit yet. So there's 8 places. They have to open up envelopes at those specific places, do a couple things he says, and dump some of his ashes there. So it's them, like, basically trying to migrate, going to these places together. She obviously hates his living guts. There was one night the first time where she gets a little drunk, tries to kiss, and then he kind of backs away. And he's like, she's like, well, just go fuck me again. It is so addictive. I cannot stop listening to it.
I've only heard good things about it. I have it on my TBR too, so I know I'm definitely going
to
read it.
You have to read it. It's really, really good. And again, if you want to do the audio, I was kind of toying between doing the physical or the audio, but I've just seemed to be going through the audios faster. So I was like, screw it. Let me just – I've been listening to a lot of mysteries, so I was like, let me just – good, solid romance. And it is
– you know how I feel about a second chance. Burn.
Second chance with a slow burn. And they were kind of, honestly, this is another trope that you love. They were friends to lovers. They were friends all throughout their childhood. And then
that
happened. So it's really good.
Even better. I read an arc and it's actually funny enough called Friends to Lovers.
Yes.
By Sally Blakely. And it's like, I mean, the plot is different, but similar childhood best friends. Okay. Joni and Ren. I like couldn't stop reading. I got it from NetGalley and I was like, okay, like it must be coming out soon then, because it's the author's first novel or first book. Okay. In my head, I was like, it must be coming out in January. I don't know why I thought this. And then when I was done, I like was going to do my review and I realized that it's not coming out until July. So this is a PSA. Goodness. I know.
You are queen of finding books that are coming out in like a million months.
Yeah, it's like really annoying. So my PSA is if you are a fan of childhood friends to lovers, second chance romance, alternating timelines, then I would add Friends to Lovers by Sally Blakely to your TBR. I won't give any spoilers, just a quick synopsis. Joni and Ren are best friends. Their mothers went to college together. Their families are best friends. The families own a beach house in the Pacific Northwest somewhere together. They spend all their childhood, like their entire childhood, they grew up like right around the corner from each other. The families go and spend a week together up at the beach house every year. Ren and Joni go to college together. When they're done with college, they move out and they get apartments right near each other. Like they are like best friends, like always together. And like a year or two after college, Joni gets like her dream job and it's across the country. It's in New York. She wants to be like an animator and she takes the job and Ren and her make like a friendship pact, basically being like, they're always going to be each other's plus ones to weddings. So like year after year, they're obviously still going to the beach house for that week, but anytime either of them has a wedding, they're kind of like meeting up at these weddings. So all of the flashbacks happen at like the weddings that they're attending together. And it was kind of like, I always say I don't like comparing things and then I compare it to something. I said it was basically like People We Meet on Vacation and Happy Place, like had a baby.
Okay.
So like, you know, like in People We Meet on Vacation, all of the flashbacks are when they're like, it's to their vacations in the past. Yeah. So the flashbacks here are like all like the weddings that they've been to. Okay. And like 1 year, Ren has like a girlfriend. And then like another year, like she has a boyfriend, but she's like never like, she just like can't get serious about anybody. And she doesn't really realize why. And then like at one wedding, she just like realizes like, holy shit, I'm fucking in love with Ren.
Yeah.
And Ren has been in love with her forever. He's just kind of been like waiting for her to catch up a little bit.
Okay.
And so they have this like great night together, something happens, and then they don't speak for 2.5 years. So present day, like where they are now, is they are back at the beach house. This is not a spoiler. This happens in the first chapter. Joni loses her job. She gets fired. So she's like escaping New York. Nobody knows that she's been fired. She just wants, they're going to the beach house for her sister's wedding. So she doesn't want to like bring drama. But she's like, okay, fuck. Like, I haven't talked to Ryan in 2.5 years. Our families don't know that we had this falling out. Like, nobody really knows because she hasn't been home since whatever happened. So she's like, they're trying to like find ways to be normal with each other, but like it's forced proximity. Like they keep being forced together because everyone's like, oh, well, Ren and Joni are best friends. Yeah. Like they can do this. Or like Ren and Joni normally sleep out on the porch together, like get like, you know, put their beds and like, so they keep being forced together and they're just like, they're just best friends and soulmates. And I just really liked it.
Okay. I mean, I already added as you were talking. I meant to add it before my TBR, but I did it as you were speaking.
Yeah. So. And I'm like really impressed that it's her first book because I thought it was really good.
It reminds me of like a Jessica Joyce, right? Like your first book, you just kind of knocked it out of the park. So I'm very excited. It's on the TBR.
It's on the TBR. Check it out. Add it.
I'm going to work my way backwards. So I've been in a mystery kick.
Katie's out of her witchy era, and now she's into mysteries.
Yes, which we all know I'll circle back to my witchies, but
it'll be like April 1st, and Katie will be like, so it's time for me to start reading my witchy books again.
Probably even earlier. I need like solid good reads. I felt like all through fall, I was reading witchy reads, but they weren't quenching my thirst, if you will. So now I need good solid stuff. So I started on audio One of Us is Lying by Karen M. McManus. And people are saying that she's like, she is the YA thriller mystery writer.
Yeah. I know that One of Us is Lying is a TV show, I think too.
It is a TV show. And okay. I did another one of her audiobooks also. I do hear kind of like a Maureen Johnson who also does YA mysteries.
Yeah.
I'm sure reading physically, the books are phenomenal, but the audios are just, oh my gosh, they're dynamite. So I first did Nothing More to Tell by Karen McManus. I gave it like a 4.5 star. The audio is 5 out of 5. It is dual narration. It's really, really good. Nothing More to Tell is very mystery related. You're kind of following a bunch of clues, figuring out what's going on. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but everyone apparently is like, One of Us is Lying. You have to do that. Whatever. It is a TV show. It is Breakfast Club, but with a murder twist.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They kind of end up calling themselves, instead of the Breakfast Club, the Murder Club, because when the news and the cops all obviously get involved because someone had passed away, was murdered during detention, the four other people in the room all have something to hide, and this guy was going to blow the lid on all of it. He has like a blog where he posts all the kind of like drama and gossip, and he had some stuff that like no one thought in that room that would ever get out, and he somehow had the information. So of course they are prime suspects. However, they just like get fixated on and like no one else has paid attention to. Not the teacher who's like anti-phones. Like the reason why they all ended up in detention was because someone slipped fake or burner cell phones into their bags.
Yeah.
And if you get caught walking into this class with a cell phone in your backpack, you automatically go to detention. So
okay.
Like, and then just like some of the secrets finally get out, and you do find out, spoiler, someone in that pack is gay, and he had not come out to anybody, including his family. He's a huge baseball star. So people like, so the college stopped like communicating with the high school.
Okay.
But then someone of a newscaster gets wind of that and starts to flip out. Like, how dare you discriminate? You know, why are these kids being looked at so heavily? Sure, they made mistakes, but like, they're 18-year-old kids. You're not finding anything. You can't find any evidence to suggest that someone killed this kid.
Right.
Why are you looking at anybody else? So they all end up coming together like, screw it. No one wants to talk to us. No one wants to sit with us anymore. We've lost all of our friends. We kind of all have each other. So we need to solve the murder. Very good. Highly recommend. And then same thing with Nothing More to Tell. If you want just another good mystery audiobook, Nothing More to Tell. There's also really good character growth for a lot of the characters in each of the books, because there was one of the characters in One of Us is Lying that I literally wanted to like smack. I'm like, Katie, she's a 17-year-old girl. Like, calm down. You have to calm down. And she eventually, they all kind of develop and grow in their own way. It's a trilogy. I hear the third one's kind of like, bleh, like kind of like, why does this exist?
Yeah.
Book two is a different set of characters that you do meet in the first. Like, one of them is the younger sister. And then I hear book three is like all the characters together. I will do book two just to see how I like it, but I needed a romance.
Yeah. you know, gotta break it up with a romance.
Yeah, because I've been on a bit of a mystery kick, even physically. So we'll talk about those in a second.
Okay,
you can go.
I'm just debating if I want to talk about another arc, because like, who wants to talk about arcs when like they're not out yet? All I'm gonna say is, if you're a Sarah Adams fan, Beg, Borrow, or Steal, which comes out in January, super cute. I really liked it. It's my favorite Sarah Adams book that I've read so far. So that's all I'm gonna say there. I'm going to rant about the net, because like, I read 5 Julianne books last week.
Oh my goodness.
So if you, how many things do you need to talk about?
I have one. I'm going to kind of lump. Do you want me just to go and then you can clear this all up?
I'm just saying, I know I'm going to talk for a while because I have 5. I mean, 2 of them are duets. Okay, I just feel like I'm going to ramble.
I'm going to go and then I'll go. Then you can get the soapbox.
Thank you.
Okay. So I end up doing, I'm going to lump these together. I did 2 additional mystery books, 1 audio and 1 physical. The audio I did was Finley Donovan is Killing It.
Okay, yeah.
By L. Trasimano. It was really good. 4 stars. It's kind of quirky, kind of funny. Finley is an author. She does get divorced. She has 2 children. Her husband basically kind of looks at her like, you're kind of a loser. Like, who's a writer? Like, that's not a real job. Very put down. He does very well for himself.
Is her husband?
Her husband does well for himself. Like, he dated, or he was sneaking around with someone he works with or something.
Oh, so he's
like
a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit. But like, okay. He has a come to moment, but still a piece of shit. And you know what it kind of gives? It kind of, if anyone's ever, this is when I date myself. If you ever watch the show Reba, her ex-husband, Brock, is a piece of shit, right? Yep. And he cheated on Reba with BJ. But like, you still kind of like him. We don't, like, in this scenario, we don't like the new potential fiance, okay. But we kind of start to come around to the ex-husband, not like fully, but kind of. Okay. So she had a babysitter. The guy fired her because he eventually was like, if you don't sleep with me, I'm not going to pay you anymore. Piece of shit. But then she goes to Panera. She's basically broke. She has to like beg her husband, or kind of like cop to her husband, like, I need you to pay my bills. I'm struggling. He's about to start threatening to take the kids. He's kind of like, you're not good enough to be a mom right now. Like, you don't have any financial backing. You're living in our old house and paying me rent, which you can't even pay. I think and, you know, if new fiance are going to take the kids, Teresa. So she goes to Panera to meet up with her agent. She's supposed to hand in a manuscript, a couple of chapters of what's to come. She did get a book deal, but it's very small earnings. Her advance was very small as well. The way it kind of goes down, it almost, someone clearly overhears them and takes it. She's a murder author, as like she's a hitman for hire. So someone leaves her a note. She ends up calling because the amount of money on the page would probably make some people think twice before just throwing in the trash. She ends up like going to scope out what this guy's all about. She's like, I want to know this guy's deal. Like, why does this woman want her husband dead? She watches everything go down. He's obviously about to go cheat on his wife. And she notices when the girl goes to the bathroom at this restaurant, he slips something into her drink. So she's like, oh, hell no. So she somehow like makes a scene, swaps the drinks. He ends up getting drugged. Then she has to get him into the car. She's like, I don't know what to do with this guy. So she calls the wife and she's like, I told you to get rid of him. Do not bring him here. And she's like, just go to the whatever. So she goes home really quickly. She's trying to figure her shit out. She leaves the car running in the garage. But when she comes out, the garage door is closed and he's dead. So now she's like, well, now fuck, I have to like dispose of his body. But however, the old babysitter walks in because she needed to go pick up some more of her stuff and sees the whole thing. So she's like, this is what's going on. I'm going to go to my sister who is a detective. I'm going to turn myself in, blah, 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 blah. And the babysitter's like, well, how much is this person offering you? And was like, we'll do 60-40. I'll help you get rid of the body. They get rid of the body. And her husband, Sodfield, whatever. Mind you, she also dresses up as her husband's fiance, more or less, to kind of like disguise herself. Moral of the story is the cops get involved, but there's a cop interest with her. It's kind of quirky. It's super fun. There's other people but like dying. So it's a really cool story. Like, I'm doing a little bit of a terrible job explaining the back end.
No, you're not.
There's just too much going on. But I do think it's worth a read or a listen. It's a series. The next up is someone's threatening to kill her husband. So she's like, so based on the ending, you kind of start to feel a certain way for the husband. Again, we don't like him, but like there's a little,
he's like a doofus. So like, yeah, I get it.
He definitely had a midlife crisis, was fucking anything that could walk, and was now is like, I kind of fucked up. She's like, you did. You'll never get me back, but like you did, but we have to be friends because we have children. So tis what it is.
Tis what it is.
So she ends up writing an amazing book. It's kind of based off of what she's doing. But I'm really excited to start the second. But again, I needed to dabble. So, and then I picked up Dead to Rights. It's called by Jasmine Webb. Shan ended up giving me the recommendation.
Okay.
It's very cozy mystery, very binge worthy. It takes place in England. This girl gets a letter saying like, hey, you're set to inherit your dad's estate and old bookshop. But you got to move to England. She's never met her father a day in her life, but she's like, my life fucking sucks here. So I might as well hop on a plane and go start somewhere else. However, when she walks through the house that she's about to inherit, this woman tries to murder her because she thinks she's breaking and entering. It ends up being her grandmother who also got the same exact letter that she did. So then all of a sudden they go to unlock the bookstore. She's like, I'm taking this bookstore over. And the grandma's like, I don't fucking want it. You take it. So they end up becoming like partners in crime. Because when they walk in, there's someone dead on the floor. So they're like, well, here we go. The cops think it's us. It's very stupid, but very corny cute. Some of it's unbelievable.
I like corny cute.
But it kind of, it serves its purpose. So I thought it was good enough to pick up book two. Book two is a little sillier. Again, a little bit more far-fetched. But like, the whole premise is quirky, cute, and stupid. So
right,
it's not supposed to be like super realistic. It's supposed to have like a lighter air to it. So far, I'm really, again, like solid 3.5-star, 4-star books just to like cleanse with. So I've been reading that and they are available on Kindle Unlimited.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to loop into some quick holiday reads. I did the novella by Allie Hazelwood, Cruel Winter With You. It was meh. There was nothing special about it, in my opinion.
Novellas are really hard because they either have to be amazing or they're very, like, and it's because I feel like you have to get so much into, like, so little. Yes.
That there's most two of the novellas, time, and I feel like I read that stand out in my mind, and one was by Tara DeWitt, and the other was Jessica Joyce. And for I don't know how they did it, but like you're saying, they packed so much in with so little time. It was phenomenal. I finished that book yesterday by Allie Hazelwood. I could not tell you what it is about. So
yeah,
do with that as you will. And then I also listened on audio Holiday Romance by Catherine Walsh.
Okay.
It's like a 3-star book. They're just traveling home for the holidays, been doing it for the past 10 years. It's her ex-best friend's ex-boyfriend. They fall in love. That's it.
Okay.
I
feel like I've heard about people talk about this, but now I'm wondering if it is.
Catherine Walsh does write a lot of holiday romance. So I wonder maybe there's another book out there. I just don't think there's a lot. It's rated a 4-star out of 47,000 reviews. So again, maybe it's just me. I just didn't think it was.
No, it's not this one. There's this one book and I don't know the name of it. But I've seen, like, this girl talk about it on TikTok. And basically, it's, like, it's marketed as, like, a Christmas romance. But then, like, one of them dies at the end. Like, it's not a happy ending.
Ooh. Okay. Well, anyway, no, thank you.
I don't know the name of it, so sorry.
You can read that and tell us how that all is.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I don't know if I talked about The Most Wonderful Crime of the Year by Ally Carter last time. I feel like I did. So if I did, it's fucking awesome. You need to read it. It's so fucking good. That's it. That's all you need to know. I'm not going to tell you anything about it because I don't want to because you should read it. Cool. And then I read The Jewel. It's really good. It's Agatha Christie. It gives me Agatha Christie vibes meets Nancy Drew vibes. I feel like I'm recalling that I said this last time we spoke.
I think that we did talk about this last time.
So I'm not gonna bang down that door since you need a soapbox. The last thing I'm going to talk about is something called The Jewel of the Isle by Carrie Rae. Both main characters were kind of like misfits, out of sorts, trying to find their own way. I think for myself, I like when there's one character that's a bit more established and one can be a little like, I need help.
Yeah.
Not that that's the way the world is, because that's not. Like, couples do come together, and they're both sometimes out of whack. I did like it. She kind of the same premise as the dead brother with the ashes. It's her dad. He wanted to travel, but the mom died young, so he had to stop to raise her, this girl and her sister.
Okay.
So just to kind of, like, honor him, because, like, apparently he kept asking the two daughters, like, to do these trips with him once he retired, and everyone kind of kept saying no. Respectfully, so for one sister, because she was pregnant, so she can't go on these crazy hikes, these different places. But the other sister just always said no, because she just didn't want to. Hiking wasn't her thing. And then her dad dies, and now she's like, well, I'm a fucking piece of shit. My dad's not here anymore, and I could have had these moments with him.
Yeah, that makes me really sad.
Right? So she hires – actually, it's really funny. We'll backtrack in 2 seconds about the dad thing, because I had something to tell you about the book I'm reading right now. But – so she hires, because she's like, these places are insane. This is like a crazy hike. I can't just do this by myself. It's extremely technical. So she hires a crew to help her. Actually, it's her ex-boyfriend that does it, because she gets dumped on a hike. And he's like, I know you wanted to take this trip. I was supposed to go with you. But, like, I don't want to be with you anymore. But here's these recommendations that of these places that can take you. Basically, this guy, his older brother died. They had a company together that did these extreme hikes. He did more of the marketing. The brother was the hiker. But they need money. He's in touch with his brother's his brother's wife. She's now a widow. The dad's a piece of shit. He's trying to sell off the brother's stuff. They're trying to get it all back. More of the story, they need money, and he needs to get his life out of the gutter. So he's like, fuck it, I'll do this, I'll figure it out. But, like, okay. He can't even, like, be on time. Like, he slept through his alarm because he was drinking beer the night before because he was in his wallows because his brother passed away and he heard something that reminded of him. So then, like, he meets this the girl on a boat. Shit goes sideways. Even on the hike, like, he can't get anything straight because he obviously isn't a hiker. So no matter what he did to look into it, it was not enough. There's a little bit of a murder twist on the side that they stumble onto. It's kind of like a dorky story. I gave it a 3 stars, but I think it's just because I didn't like that they were both just, they both needed guidance and help, and they were finding with each other. And yeah.
leading the blind.
Literally the blind leading the blind. Like, it was kind of funny, I guess, if you're into whatever. If you could handle that, you might like it a bit more. I thought it was just a little too stupid quirky. But the book I'm reading with the right now, Yes, I Hate You.
Yeah.
The girl's brother passed away. And she's like, I think there's something wrong with me. I can't cry. She's like, I have not cried since he passed away. And I was like, oh, man, this is Teresa. Yeah. I'm done.
Whatever. So okay, so you guys. If you listened last week, then you know that we read our first Julianne book from Air and that we really, really liked it. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to read some of her other work. She has a huge backlog, like huge. So many people, when they saw that we had read from Air, they were like, you need to read her book Sunday morning. It's like book one in another series that she's writing. And I think the second book actually comes out in January. Anyway, so I read Sunday morning and I liked it. I'm going to say this a lot because every book I read, this is kind of age gap. She does a lot of age gap, which is fine. But Sunday morning it's set in the 80s and there's a lot of, like, religious, I don't even want to say undertones. It's just religious. So the main character, what the fuck is her name? Sarah. Sarah is a preacher's daughter. They live in this, like, small town in somewhere. And she's dating, like, her high school sweetheart, Matt. She's a senior in high school. And her, like, her dream is to move to Nashville and be, like, a country music star. But she's like, you know, she's, like, the oldest sister, and she's, like, the parents are, like, so strict. Like, can't listen to certain music. Her and her boyfriend, like, barely even kiss. But, like, she's, like, deep down, she's, like, a little bit of a rebel. Anyway, her boyfriend, Matt, his older brother, there was, like, some drama that was, like, going on, and someone got pregnant, and they were, it's a whole thing. Anyway, her boyfriend's brother ends up like leaving the town that they're in, and he goes into the military, and like nobody's seen him in like a few years. And he comes back. His name's Isaac, and Isaac comes back, and Sarah had like the biggest crush like on Isaac. Her and her friend Haley, I think her friend's name was, had like the biggest crush on him. He's just like a total like stone cold fox. And he's like in a band. So Sarah's like working at the her like boyfriend's parents like farm for the summer, like the farm stand. And basically like she's just like constantly in Isaac's periphery. She's also a big virgin loser. Just kidding. No, she is a big virgin. That's fine. But she, I don't know, so she's like, she's a virgin. She wants to lose her virginity. Matt's going to college. Like her and Matt, like childhood friends, like they like love each other, but like they both know that they're not going to end up together. Like he's going to college for baseball. She's not going like with him. It's a whole thing, but like their families like want them to be together. It's like, whatever. Anyway, long story short, she loses her virginity to Matt and then ends up like getting with Isaac. Okay. And they're like in love, but like he's also like older and like also like you're my brother's girlfriend, so it's like there's like cheating and stuff going on. And she's supposed to go away for a weekend with her best, with like her best friend and one of their other friends. They're going to go camping for the weekend, but Isaac is like, hey, I have to go play a show in Nashville, why don't you come with me? Like your parents already think you're going to be gone for the weekend, just come with me instead. And so, like, she agrees to it, whatever. So she goes to Nashville with him for the weekend. They have this great weekend together. When she gets home, like, her parents are, like, sick, like, beside themselves, like, so upset. And she's like, what's going on? And her best friend, Haley, and the other girl who went camping together got into a car accident on the way up, and they both died.
Oh, Jesus.
And so everyone thought that Sarah was with them, but, like, nobody could find Sarah.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, I don't even know. Like, long story short, they end up together. But, like, she's basically, like, disowned by her dad. It's a whole thing. I really liked it. I know that people like this more than some of her other stuff. I wouldn't say that this is my favorite. This is my least favorite of what I've read from her so far. But I was enjoying it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to read Transcend, because I've had Transcend on my Kindle for, like, over a year. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read Transcend. And Transcend is like paranormal romance.
Okay.
So the female main character, Swayze, and like it's a whole thing that like she hates her name. She thinks like her parents are like insane for naming her that. She's a thing about names. Anyway, Swayze is like fresh out of college. She wants to become a teacher. She's also like in therapy. Her dad passed away. And after her dad passed, her mom and her like, they start going to therapy, like not together, but just like separate. And as a child, Swayze like would always like say like weird things. Like her parents thought that she was a child prodigy because she just like knew random like facts. Mm-hmm. But she like would do all this testing and like nothing ever came of it. She was like completely normal. But she just like knew like random shit about like some like town, like whatever. She just like knew like a bunch of random shit. So anyway, so it starts off and she's like with her boyfriend Griffin, who like Griffin is like the nicest, most precious Harley riding motorcycle mechanic in the entire world. And age appropriate, may I add. And he owns a home and he has a great family and the family loves her. Like she has this like great like life going. And when she's like leaving her therapist's office one day, she sees a guy and she's like, oh my God, like Nate. Hi, how are you? And Nate's like, who the fuck are you? And she's like, Nate, from wherever. Like you grew up in the greenhouse. Like, Nate, like, I know you. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know you. And she realizes that she's having one of those moments again where she just, like, mm-hmm. knows random shit, but she doesn't know why or how. So whatever. So she ends up, like, kind of, like, writing it off. And in the meantime, she is supposed to be going on like a job interview to be a nanny until she can find like a permanent teaching position. So the person she's going to nanny for, his sister-in-law is doing the interview because his wife died during childbirth. He has like a 3-month-old baby and he's at work. His sister-in-law is like doing the interviews. She gets past like the first round, comes back for the second round. It's Nate. Hmm. And like on the spot, she's kind of like, fuck, this guy's going to think I'm crazy, but I really need this job. So she's like, oh, like I realized she just like knows shit about his life. So she's like, I never met you personally, but my cousin dated your best friend. So I think that I just like knew stuff about you from her. And he's like, okay, like whatever. She gets the job. She's like great with the baby. But like the more time she spends with him, the more she's like, why do I know all these things about him? Like she knows that he has like a birthmark on his stomach and like all these different things. And she basically is like able to convince him that like she, okay, he's a college professor. It sounds crazy. He's a college professor and he, I think like anatomy, he had to take like a couple psych classes and his psych professor wrote like a few books on like the idea of reincarnation. Mm-hmm. So like, because he like knows all this random stuff, he kind of goes to this professor and he's like, listen, there's this girl and she like knows shit that only my best friend growing up would know. And his best friend's dead. Okay. So he like, is like, okay, like this is my best friend reincarnated. And the one, like the, his psych professor is like, even if like the Swayze has some of like your best friend, like in her, like Swayze is still her own person. Like you can't be like, oh, like this is my best friend reincarnated. And like, they're the same person. So basically he ends up like convincing like Swayze to like, not that she is his best friend, but like, hey, like you have my best friend in you.
Yeah.
He was also like madly in love with his best friend. So his best friend who he's madly in love with dies. And then he gets married, has a baby, and his wife dies. Like Nate is just like kind of a mess.
Yeah, I'd say
but
so.
They have this like utter, like they have this like really big connection. But she's like also madly in love with her boyfriend, Griffin. And like when she's with Griffin, she's like, I love Griffin. Like that's all I want. But then when she's with Nate, she's like, I don't know why I feel this like connection towards him.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, okay, like you need to just like quit your job. Like it's obviously not healthy for you to be around this like person. Like we're sure he's fine, but like for your mental health you should quit. She's like, I can't leave. Like she feels like a really deep connection to the baby and like this really deep connection to Nate. And there's like a guy who like lives in her apartment building that she just like always has like a weird vibe about. She's like, I don't know why, like, but there's something about him that like just, I have a feeling about this guy. Anyway, the book one ends, her and like Griffin is kind of like the perfect man, but he's also just like a man and a person with feelings. Yeah. And he's like, wants to be there for her. But he's also like, she's like, I think I'm reincarnated. And he's like, that sounds a little crazy.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to be understanding, whatever. They're like about to move in together. They go to like get her shit from her apartment, and she has like this friend Erica who like lives in the apartment next door to her. Erica's been found dead, like she's, and they're like, oh, she drowned in her bathtub. And Swayze's like, she's a cardiologist, like I don't think she just like fell asleep in her bathtub and drowned. And she like has this like vision of the creepy guy in their apartment building killing Nathan's childhood best friend, who also died in like a mysterious kind of like accidental way.
Okay.
So like at that point, she kind of, so when the second book picks up, like she's kind of going a little crazy. She's like, this man murdered me in my past life. And like, she just like can't, she's like having trouble like distinguishing between like who she is and like these like memories that she has. And she's getting like more and more memories from the past. And Griffin is like trying to be there for her. And he's like literally like the sweetest angel. Like he's just like so in love with her. And she's so in love with him, but she's still like also like she just like can't. And like Nate is just like not helping. Like Nate was like really pissing me off, you guys. I'm not going to lie. If you read it, I just like wanted him to just like, he redeems himself in my eyes. But like, he was really pissing me off. But also I understand like his wife literally just died and he like, he's been through it. Anyway, Griffin's like, I'm not going to sit here and like watch you like lose your mind. Like we're leaving. I asked for a transfer. Like, let's go. Like, let's move. Like, he's like, you want to be a teacher. You don't even want to be nannying. Like, let's just go. And she just like cannot. She's like, I just can't go until like I figure all this out. And it's like really like angsty. And like, there's like my like jaw hurt. Cause I was like, oh my God, just like go with Griffin. I love Griffin.
You're like, just leave.
And he, like, proposes to her, and, like, she basically, like, is, like, lets him like leave. She's like, all right, like I'm not coming. And he just like leaves like early one morning. Like he doesn't even really say goodbye to her. It's like really like sad because she's like so like so upset and like she just like she can barely function. But anyway, yeah. She ends up like pulling her like her bootstraps up, getting her shit together. She's like, you know, still has to do her job. But she like is like terrified that this guy's gonna come for her. Like she just like can't shake this like feeling, whatever. She basically is like, I'm going to go to his apartment. I'm going to kill him. Like, I know that he's a murderer. I know he's killed at least two people. Like, he's going to come for me next. Like, he keeps showing up in, like, random places. Like, fucking creep. So she goes to kill him. But when she goes to the apartment, like, the cops are already there. He's already dead. He hung himself.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So she, like, starts to feel better. She, like, Griffin, like, doesn't, he, like, changes his phone number. His family, like, still checks in on her and everything. But they're under like strict rules, like to not tell her like where he is. He's like, it has to be a clean break. Like, cause he knows like if she calls me or gets like, I'll just come running back.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, like Griffin's cut me out. This guy's dead. I have all these memories. Like it must be fate. Like I must be meant to be with Nate. And she's like, I said, like, she's like 22. Nate is like 38.
Mm.
And, Nate is like, he like, loves her, but because he loves her, he's like, I know that you're not who I need you to be. Like, I do love you, but you love Griffin.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't love me. Like, your memories make you think that you, like, have these strong feelings for me, but, like, you, Swayze, love Griffin. And so she's like, she just, like, kind of needs, like, a clean break. So she, like, leaves. She goes to Salt Lake City. She's like at the food store one day. So she calls Griffin grocery store guy because they met at the grocery store. She like had her period. She was buying like chocolate and wine and like forgot her wallet, which is like a mess. And he paid for her and then like wrote his number like on the receipt. So she's like at the grocery store and she kind of hears like a commotion. Like somebody like is at like checkout and doesn't have their wallet and it's Griffin. And she's like, oh my God, it's fate. And he's just like, what the fuck are you doing here? And she's kind of like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
And she's just like getting her life together. Like she's figuring out like what she wants. Like she starts like working out. She starts like doing things for herself. And he like the day that he sees her, like the day before he went on his first date since they broke up. So he's like, this is just like terrible timing. Then you find out that they live in the same building.
Oh my God.
after that, he just like ends things with like the girl that he like went on a date with and they end up just getting back together and like living happily ever after. And it was like great. Like, thank God, because I was getting so mad. Cause I was like, I'm not enduring all of this for her to not end up with Griffin. Like,
yeah. Like I'm not suffering through all this.
I was getting so mad. I was like, I swear to fucking God, if Griffin leaves and she ends up with Nate, like I'm going to buy the books just to burn them. But she ends up with Griffin, and so I was happy because Griffin is like, he just deserves the entire world. And so then I did buy the book, so they're coming, because I was like, now I love the story.
Yeah.
But like, you do want to like shake her, but also like, she's, imagine like waking up one day and having somebody else's memories.
What's what I mean? Like, I feel like you can sympathize because you want to her to run away with Griffin, but at the same time too, if she just ran away with Griffin, she would be in a different city going, I need to figure out what's going on with my mind. Like sometimes you do need to work something out before you can move past it.
Yeah.
It just stinks because he was a little angel baby.
Yeah. And then I end up liking Nate because she's like, at one point she's like begging Nate. She's like, we're obviously meant to be together. Why would I have gone through all of this if it's not you? Like, just kiss me. Like, let's just be together. And Nate's like, really, like, self-control, like, no. And he's like, I can't because you're not mine. You love Griffin. Like,
aww.
You could tell, like, the maturity, like, innate, like.
Yeah.
And, again, I give him, I'll forgive him for the things he annoyed me about because, again, his best friend gets murdered. His wife dies during childbirth. Like, Nate's been through it, like I said. So he gets a little bit of a break. But I loved Griffin so much. So then after that, I was like, okay, like, now I'm really like, I'm cruising.
Now I'm committed.
I read Sunday Morning in like in one day. I read Transcend in one day. I read the next book, I think it's pronounced Epic. I read that in one day. So I was like, okay, I'm on a roll. I'm going to go with another Julianne book that I've heard a lot about. And that's The Naked Fisherman.
Yes.
And it's another book that is an age gap with like a lot of religious undertones. I don't even want to say undertones, a lot of religious stuff in it. Both not for me, but I liked it. So that's why we don't write books off all the time necessarily based on tropes, because if it's done correctly, it can be good. And anyway, so The Naked Fisherman follows Fisher. And what's her name? What's that dumb bitch's name? this is, I don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
Reese. Okay. So it follows Fisher and Reese. Reese is 13 when her mother is sent to prison in Nebraska for growing weed. She's like owns a hair salon and somebody breaks into the hair salon. So the cops go, and when they're like looking through the salon to see like if the burglar is still there, they find like she basically has like a grow house in like the storage room of the salon. But we don't know why she has this, but she goes to prison for 5 years. Okay. In those 5 years, Reese's dad dies. And she is put in the custody of her grandparents in Texas, who are ultra conservative, and they put her into a very strict Christian academy for schooling. So by the time she gets out, graduates high school, she's got this like very, like she's like deeply religious, but has like a very weird relationship with religion. But her mom is now out of jail. She's living in Denver, and Reese is taking a gap year. She wants to kind of like reconnect with her mom. So she's like, I'm going to go live in Denver for a year. I'll get a job. I'll like reconnect with my mom. If things don't work out, I can always go back to Texas. Like she's like, whatever. So she goes to Denver and she's like, she meets her mom's landlord. So she gets there and her mom is living in the basement of this guy's house. And she's there for like a day. And her mom's like, by the way, I have to go to California for training so that like, I can like, kind of like, really, she's like got a job at a hair salon. She's like, I need to go get training because I've been out of the game for so long. So I'm going to be gone for like 4 weeks. You're here. You're going to work for Fisher. He's my landlord. He's like a great guy. He's like 28. He owns a construction company. She's like, anything you need, Fisher's got you. Like Fisher and Reese's mom are like really good friends. So Reese like meets him. Like she goes up, like there's a like a staircase, like because it's like a basement. So she goes upstairs to see if her mom's up there. She like knocks, starts like calling for her, whatever. Fisher comes out and he's like just in a towel. So that's why she starts calling him the Naked Fisherman, because like his name's Fisher Man, and he's like whatever. And her little religious heart and vagina literally like cannot deal with what they're seeing. They're like, that's a fucking man. That's a whole ass man.
That's a man.
And like he's described as being a mix between Liam Hemsworth and Theo James. So I'm Jesus like, so same girl. So she sees him and she's like, holy shit. She just like immediately is like has a crush on this man. And he just like loves fucking with her. So they're 10 years apart. She's 18. He's 28. And he just like cannot help himself. Like he like immediately notices that she's flushed. And he like knows about like that she went to this Christian academy and stuff. So he just like, he's like, starts making fun of, like kind of like not making fun of her, but like poking like at her being like a virgin and like all this stuff. But they start working together. They develop a friendship, but it's like a very like flirty friendship. And then it becomes like, it's almost like they're like mean to each other. You know what I mean? Like in like a flirty way, but also in a, like, I wanted to like punch him so hard. Sometimes I want, cause he is a dick. Like he's a fucking asshole. And, whatever. He's like, in the beginning, he's like dating, whatever. And they end up like hooking up. And he knows that she's a virgin. He's like kind of like not going to fuck with that. But like they do a bunch of other stuff. They start like falling in love, but like neither of them know how to deal with it. Like she's like too fucking young. She's like very immature. And he is just like, this is a young girl who doesn't have her shit together. I should know better. Also, this is like one of my best friend's daughters and I'm supposed to be keeping an eye out for. Like, he's just like really struggling internally with like what he's doing, but they're also falling in love with each other. So there's like all this like angst about it. And So then Reese's mom is a lesbian And her girlfriend's name is Rose. I forget what Reese's mom's name is, but it doesn't matter. Rose finds Reese and Fisher, like, kind of, like, just, like, making out. And she's like, you guys gotta, like, you gotta stop. So, basically, they do. Like, other shit happens. Reese is like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, I gotta figure out who I am and what I want. And, like, and Fisher's like, okay to, like, let her go because he, like, yeah. wants her to experience whatever. So that's, like, kind of how the first book ends. Like, she – and then, like, she's, like – she goes to Thailand with this guy that she met at church on, like, a mission trip. And they end up stay – like, they extend their stay. This guy, like, proposes to her and she's like, no, thank you. But while she's on this mission trip, she's helping this, like, midwife. And she's like, this is what I want to do when I, like, this is what I want to do. So she goes, she, like, moves to, like, Michigan and, like, goes to nursing school. Right after she graduates, her, like, mom and her mom's girlfriend Rose come to the graduation and they're like, oh, like, she hasn't talked to Fisher in 5 years. And they're like, Fisher wrote you this card, like, as, like, a graduation, like, congratulations, whatever. So they just give her this graduation card. She opens it and it's basically him just being like, I'm so proud of you. Like, it's, like, a really, like, beautiful card. Her mom, like, they go home back to Denver. They call her. They're like, Fisher's been in a motorcycle accident. Like, we don't know what's going on. It's, like, really bad. So she immediately gets on a plane. She just is, like, it, like, deep within her, she's like, I have to go. Mm-hmm. I have to, like, at least make sure he's okay. So she gets there. Like, he comes out of surgery. He's, like, fine. But there's, like, huge chunks of his life that he just lost his memory. So he's not, like, completely, like, who am I amnesia? Like, he knows who he is. He knows his family. He knows certain people. But he does not remember anything about Reese. He doesn't remember his job. And he doesn't remember a lot of his friends. And he doesn't remember his fiance because he's engaged to Angie. His childhood, on and off again, high school sweetheart. Fucking Angie, that dumb bitch. Anyway.
Even the name.
Ugh. I know. I was like, ugh. And like the whole story, they're like, Angie, but she's such a nice girl. And I was like, fuck Angie. So like Angie, obviously, I mean, again, if this was my fiance, I would also, when he woke up, be like, you don't remember me? Like, and try to like help, like, you know, jog his memory. Yeah. But he's just feeling so much pressure. Like everyone is telling him, like, you love Angie. And like Angie's like, yeah, like we're in love. Like we're getting married. And he's like, I don't fucking remember this. Every time, like, he doesn't remember something, like, she gets so upset. He's just feeling, like, all this, like, pressure. And, like, what Reese does, instead of being, like, oh, like, hey, like, this is our history, she just kind of, like, becomes his friend.
Yeah.
And becomes, like, a safe space for him. And she's obviously still in love with him. And she's, like, deep down, she's, like, secretly hoping that he falls back in love with her. So if you don't like cheating, then don't read this. But I don't consider it cheating, and I'll get to why at the end. So they end up, like, the two of them fall in love. Like, they fucking, and, like, he's still technically engaged to Angie, but he's like, I don't fucking remember this girl. I know that, like, right now I'm in love with Reese. Reese is in love with me. Like, I don't even know who Angie is. And, like, she's telling me memories, and they sound wonderful, but, like, they just don't mean anything to me. And, like, little by little, he's starting to get his memories back. And then he has to go with Angie to Costa Rica for her cousin's wedding. Mm. And he's like tried to break up with her ahead of it. And like, she freaked out and he like basically promised her, like, we won't break up until I get back. Like until after your cousin's wedding, he tells Angie, he's like, okay, I'll go to this wedding. And then he's like, he's telling Reese, like, I'm with you. I'm not with her, but like, I have to do this one last thing for her. Apparently she's super important in my life. Like, I don't want to like just be a fucking dick. I don't know. It was like a whole thing. I would have been pissed too. Reese does not handle it well. So they're on the phone. Like Angie's in the room. Fisher goes on a run on the beach. Hmm. He calls Reese. They're talking and like, they're kind of like getting into a fight. And he like, it jogs his memory. Cause he like says like, he's basically like, oh, I'm going to tie you up. Like when I get home, like as like a, to like shut her up. And it like jogs his memory of something that happens in the first book. And Reese, like an idiot, freaks out because she's like, oh my God, he's remembering that we have like this history. And she hangs up on him and he tries to call her back. But now she's a midwife. She's like, she's, what's it called? Like, she's interning. Like she has her nursing degree, but you have to, no. She's a midwife now.
Okay.
So she's like helping to deliver a baby. She's okay. Not like the midwife. She's like when you're like a med student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing your fellowship.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it. Okay. So she's delivering. So it's like hours before she checks her phone again. And she has all these texts from him. And then like there's screenshots because then he's like looking in like into like the past of like all these other texts and like photos and like all this stuff. And he's like, we fucking know each other. What the fuck? Like, was this a game to you? So now she's freaking out even more because, of course, Angie on Instagram was posting like her and Fisher are still together. So annoying. Anyway, he gets home. He breaks up with Angie. Nothing ever happens with Angie. Like, see ya, bitch. But he like remembers like everything about him and Reese. Okay. And he's like, basically like, he's like kind of like waiting for her to like admit like what they were to each other.
Okay.
And she finally does. And then he has this like whole, like kind of like, I don't want to say a breakdown, but like kind of like a breakdown of like, I loved you then. I've loved you for 5 years. And this is why I don't consider it cheating, because the day of his motorcycle accident, he broke up with Angie.
Okay.
Angie proposed to him. He was like, I guess, like, she's kind of as good as I'm going to get because I can't have the woman I really do love. Things are, like, just too much. He breaks up with her. He gets into the motorcycle accident. He doesn't remember. And, like, she doesn't tell him that they actually broke up.
Gotcha.
She was trying to, like, kind of, like, force him back into being in love. So in my mind, he's always loved Reese. He didn't even propose, and technically they were broken up.
I'm with you.
So, anyway, him and Reese end up together. They're in love. They have babies. It's, like, really cute. So I liked it. I would recommend it.
It actually has been on my TBR for a long time, but it was one of those, like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this because of – You said it perfectly. Don't just judge a book based off of some tropes you hear. And again, I'm not the biggest fan of an age gap. So I think I heard like religion age gap. And I was like, I just don't know if this is going to be for me.
Yeah.
Shame on me for feeling that way. But I added it onto my audio TBR too, just in case. I like to preview and see if I like the sample prior to clicking that purchase.
I want you to read it because I want to know what your thoughts are on it. Okay.
Actually, you know what? That's perfect because I'm finishing up that second cozy mystery book. And I honestly, I can't even believe I have these words that are about to leave my mouth, even though I have a TBR. I don't know what my mood was for next. I know it was romance, but I couldn't think of like what romance book to read. I have plethora of audiobooks on my backlog of like, you're doing this next and this and that. But my physical is like, I don't really know. So this is perfect.
Yeah, good. Oh, good. And then you can let me know. And if you hate it, you can just DNF it. But there was just something about it that like really hooked me. And like, you're going to think Reese is annoying because like, she's so fucking naive and immature, but like, there's just something, it's okay because the storytelling is good. You know what I mean?
I'm fine with that. Plus I've learned that even though there's annoyances in some books with some characters because of their immaturity, it's for a reason. And if there's growth, I'm okay and I can get through it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like in the second book, there's a lot of growth. And I feel like you just kind of need that sometimes. Like it makes sense why she would be immature at 18 coming out of a Christian, super conservative Christian academy.
You know only what you have been exposed to and told. It's vastly different. I can understand that.
Yeah. So right now I am reading Goldfinch, the last book in the Plated Prisoner series. I'm like 250 pages in and I am enjoying it. So I'm happy that I picked it up because I know that I had negative things to say about book 5. So I will let you guys know how I feel about that next time we speak. Next week we are reviewing How My Neighbor Stole Christmas by Megan Quinn, and we are off on the 25th, and then the following week we'll do our 2024 year end review. Mm-hmm. So that will be on New Year's Day.
Can't believe it, mate. I gotta start making my lists.
I know, same. But on that note, I have nothing else to you. Mm-mm. All right, well then, can you send us out?
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub.
If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.